Fintech, agritech, even proptech, no sector is untouched by the digital revolution. But there are a few where it matters more than in digital health. COVID-19 has brought it to the fore, but for a city like Leeds and from a real estate perspective, it's a sector that matters hugely. From an occupational point of view and from a placemaking and design perspective. I'm Damien Wild, Editor-in-Chief of EG, and to paraphrase one of our panellists at this session from our recent Future of Leeds event, embedding health and wellness into places and buildings has to matter as much as installing lighting. Welcome back to this last session at EG's Future of Leeds event. I'm Damien Wild, Editor-in-Chief of EG. In many ways, in the eye of a pandemic, this last session couldn't be more topical. But in truth, it reflects a focus that's been growing for some time. Technology is rapidly changing the way medicine and healthcare are practiced, researched, studied, and taught. We've heard already about how important digital transformation is for Leeds. Healthcare is just one way in which transformation is being delivered. To discuss all this, we have a great lineup of speakers. Ros Davies is Managing Director of M Habitat and has 25 years' experience of co-designing and delivering social health and digital innovation across the NHS, local government, and the third sector. Cleveland Henry is Director of Cloud at UK Cloud Health and Non-Executive Director of Leeds and York Partnership NHS Foundation Trust. And Richard Uthwaite is Real Estate Partner at Shoesmiths. I do want to talk about digital health and why it matters to Leeds and other cities in a moment, and also how Leeds has emerged as a leading location in this sector. But first, we should probably define just what digital health is and why it matters. Cleveland, can I put that one to you?
Yeah, why does it matter? I think digital health for me really is the evolution of delivering and receiving of healthcare through digital means. You know, whether that's the internet, whether that's our mobile phones, our combination of such, but also not excluding the standard methods of access and use. And the way I always compare it is I utilise and compare the banking sector, which has been evolved from what has been traditional banking to telephone banking to digital banking that we all know and love. And I think digital health is no different. What we're seeing is an easy ability to look at some of the transactional elements. That includes booking appointments, looking at results and the rest. Looking for information, you know, we often talk about Dr. Google, but actually there's some really good access points like NHS.uk, the national website, and the rest, which allows individuals to get information, get access to services anytime, any place, 24/7. So for me, that's what it is, the evolution of health and care, of giving and receiving, utilising digital means that we're all now using in our everyday lives.
So, Cleveland, I wonder during this time how you've seen COVID-19 perhaps accelerate digital health adoption and transformation.
I think, yeah, we've definitely seen the expansive use of digital technology during this period. You know, it's reported that 1 in 7 searches, 7 out of 10 searches are health-related, looking for health information. But we've also seen more practically the ramp up of video consultations with some general practice, or some GP practices reporting 90%+ consultations being done via video. So we've seen, you know, a real rapid uptake of using digital technology. You know, how many of us are now using either Skype, Google, Teams, Zoom, and the many other products that are out there in order to engage in our healthcare. So, you know, it's been massive influx. I don't think it's anything new. We've been talking about utilising these tools for a long time. But what we've seen is a need must and a have to use, no longer an option.
Okay, and Ros, can I bring you in just on that COVID point, actually, because I was going to come back to that, but let's tackle it now. That I just wonder how whether COVID has accelerated this digital health transformation, and just, you know, putting a little bit of meat on the bones there around how.
Absolutely has it accelerated and acted as a catalyst, but I think it's a little bit more of a complex picture than that. So on the one hand, we've seen sort of a lot of money, time and effort gone into really fast tracking some of the digital health capability that we've got across the country. And that's happened at pace, incredible pace. Although you know, let's be honest, we have been talking about this for a few years now. So, you know, a lot of the foundations had been set, but there was, you know, things that got in the way. And obviously COVID meant, you know, we had to do that. And I think the NHS and industry partners and all sorts of people have done an incredible job of really, you know, collaborating, moving fast and actually trying to provide the best possible service for citizens. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of, you know, congratulations really to be had and appreciation of that. On the other side of it, actually, what's also happened is COVID has really served to really sharpen our focus around inequality. And there's, I think there's a bit of a sort of triple whammy really that's happening at the moment. There's health inequalities on top of digital exclusion, on top of COVID. And it's the same group of people who are really sort of missing out. And unfortunately, there's something like 11 million people who are not able to use digital well in our country. And in Leeds, I think we've worked out it's around 90,000 people lack the basic digital skills that they need to go online. Those people are more likely to be older, living with disabilities and living in poverty. And those are the people, the same groups who need health and care services the most. So we've got a problem that we have to deal with. And I'm really pleased to say that I think Leeds is really ahead of the game on tackling what I call inclusive digital transformation. There's the work that M-Habitat's doing. So we look at how do we involve more vulnerable groups in actually co-designing digital tools and services and strategies. And there's a fantastic work of 100% Digital Leeds team who work on the ground with community organisations across the city to support individuals to really build their digital skills and confidence. And we've also got things like Digital Access West Yorkshire, who are and Solidaritech, who are actually trying to get hold of devices and give them out to people who can't afford the devices and the data. Got and a whole wrath of other really brilliant stuff going on in the city. So really proud to be part of that.
So it's been both an accelerant, but there are challenges there that will be a break unless they're tackled.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. And then Richard, I'm interested in, you know, we've talked before on these sorts of events about, you know, clusters, emerging clusters in cities and how that they can help, you know, determine the success or not of a city. And digital health has clearly been an emerging successful cluster for Leeds. Is it how would you rank its importance?
Let's be entirely clear on this. I think it's absolutely fundamental in order to encourage people to work and live in Leeds. You look at all the different sectors that will encourage and help, such as retail, hospitality, residential, and what I would like to create, or what I'd like to see created in Leeds, is a whole system whereby we can piggyback off the great retention of students, the great student accommodation and retention of students into built to rent, then maybe into senior living. And without that kind of hub that you create, we're not going to get that.
Okay. And is it complementary? Leeds has had success in other areas of digital transformation, has been very successful in bringing digitally led occupiers to Leeds, whether it's Sky or Channel 4 or plenty of others. Are these complementary sectors that add to the success of the city?
Yeah, damn right they are. Ultimately, you're going to have all the people who are interested in technology and bringing all that talent into Leeds into one area and let them bounce off one of the all the great ideas that they've got. So yeah, I see it's absolutely fundamental and complementary.
Okay, thank you. And Cleveland, coming back to you and the role that, you know, that something like digital health can contribute most widely to a city. Is it something that needs to be embedded almost into the design of a city? Does a city have to be smart in that sense, smart as well as healthy?
Yes, I'd say so. And if you listen to what Richard just said, you know, he talked about it being the city and the place being very much connected. You know, we look at not only the attraction of the tech sector in Leeds, which we've done extremely well at doing so, but also when we talk about, you know, for me, when I say health, I talk about well-being as well. You know, I talk about connectivity. You know, as Rod said, you know, where we've got a big bunch of individuals that are digitally excluded, and, you know, key things around the city being connected, you know, and that could be you know, where individuals who don't necessarily have high power broadband at home and full PCs and stuff can actually go into areas that have got, you know, a connected zone, so to speak. So it gives them the opportunity without being, you know, wherever they are at home or not, but actually be able to connect. Because, you know, that's quite key. And I heard a story a couple of years ago from someone who was homeless down in London, actually. And he was talking about a program where they were given mobile phones, which helped guide them through food, shelter, health, etc. You know, and the key was connectivity. And he talked about people huddling outside McDonald's to make sure they use the free Wi-Fi. So, you know, there's a real thing around the whole city, being smart and really using those services regardless of the sector, in order to drive both health and well-being.
So it needs to be built into the city fabric.
Absolutely. Just as much as lights are.
So I'm fairly new to Leeds, but what's really interesting about it is that we have all the right ingredients to be pioneers in digital health. And not only that, but we've got quite a lot of, you know, the big national players who are based here. So we've got NHS England, we've got NHS Digital, the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Networks here. Our universities are leading the way with quite a lot of different aspects, some digital, some not digital, but all related. We've got things like the Leeds care record and Helm, the person handheld care record, all of this sort of innovation going on right here. And it's all important stuff that needs to be, you know, it's important to other systems as well. So actually what we're doing here is a bit of we're kind of a lab really for the digital health innovation and inclusive digital health innovation.
Do you think Leeds is the leading digital health city in the UK, Ros?
Ooh. I don't know if it's the leading one, but what I think it's leading at is inclusive digital transformation. So that's a kind of a slightly different thing. So I think instead of just sort of developing digital health for the sake of it, which we, you know, on its own, actually, I think what this city does is think about it from a citizen and a community perspective as well, and is really keen to blend those two things together. And I think that's what's really exciting about this.
Okay. And are there other cities around the world that you see doing this successfully?
I don't know anywhere that's doing inclusive digital health successfully. I mean, there's lots of different things going on. There's a fair amount going on in Australia around digital inclusion generally. I think there's some Scandinavian cities that are working sort of in partnership with citizens. I think one in Finland. But I think what's really special about this is the absolute attention to inequality, I think, and inclusion, which is probably fairly unique as a city.
Okay, thank you. And Richard, when we normally talk around clusters, around cities like Leeds, we do talk about tech in some detail. I can't think that we've talked about digital health previously, not to this extent, certainly, but I'm not sure we've touched on it to any great degree. Do you think it's something that's readily understood by landlords and the real estate sector, placemakers as well? And do they put sufficient importance on it?
I think they're getting there. I think that when you look at the Smart City platform and the information and data that's dealt with around recycling, air quality, traffic flows, footfall, if we as a city could gather all that information and utilise that information in order to make our city better and more attractive for people, then yeah, it is. And I think actually landlords and certainly in some degree some tenants are getting that now and they're realising the importance of it. If you were to ask the guy on the street whether or not he understands what digital health is, I suspect 99 of them would say no. But when you actually talk about these issues such as recycling and air quality and traffic flows and footfall and speaking to your doctor and diagnosing, etc., it becomes readily more apparent. I think it's just the phrasing or the terminology around it that needs better promoting. And I think this is where Leeds has a real opportunity in order to promote ourselves as a leader in this field, because every other major city in the UK will or is doing it.
And to borrow Cleveland's phrase, it's not quite up there with lights yet, is it?
No.
Okay, and Cleveland, do you want to see more consideration given to digital health by developers, by placemakers?
Yeah, but I think as Ros says, I do think we are, you know, if we're not up there, we're definitely up there in the top five in the country, if not the top two. You know, we've got a lot of really key organisations, both from the public sector perspective, and Ross mentioned a few of those. But also, if you look at, we're you know, pretty much a hotbed for a lot of private digital health technology organisations that are out there. You know, it's not a coincidence that many of the major players are also based in and around Leeds. And we've got to take advantage of that. I think for me as well, you know, it's about us really, we talk about the place and really getting that tie-in with other industries, you know, across the city, because we are becoming, you know, as I said, quite a good hotbed. We've got Channel 4 coming on nearly here by now. So, you know, we need to tie that in. One of the things when we, and Richard just mentioned about landlords, for me, I want to see, and I've seen some developments, but I want to see more cycle paths, really encouraging that. Because, you know, whenever I talk about health, I talk about well-being, I talk about exercise, I talk about individuals helping themselves in activity, which I think is part of it. So, you know, that for me is, every single landlord needs to ensure they've got a cycle park, shower facilities, you know, so people can actually not necessarily driving around in cars and really push that forward, because I think it has a massive impact.
Well, it feels to me like, and we have talked about this at other recent sessions, that we're at a fork in the road, really, where there is an understandable reluctance to go on public transport at the moment. And it's whether that is going to drive people towards active transport or back into their car. Mm. And it's how we ensure that it's the active transport, the walking, the cycling, that becomes more commonplace.
Absolutely.
I think there's another big sort of looming issue around health as well, and that's mental health, which is something that should be important to employers, developers, businesses, as well as, you know, the public sector. And I think that's the next big sort of aftershock, if you like, of COVID that's coming our way. And there's certainly a lot of sort of innovation coming out of Leeds around that as well. And we've got a sort of a fully, you know, a comprehensive and complicated and big healthcare system that's interested in mental health in the city as well. So it will be really interesting to see how we respond to that going forward from here. We are involved in a partnership with the third sector and with the clinical commissioning group. We've co-designed and we deliver a mental health platform called Mindwell Leeds. And I think, and that's a sort of a signposting service, if you like. So over COVID, we've got an I Want Urgent Help Now page, which is for, you know, if you're in crisis, and we saw a 25% increase in that, in the use of that from this time last year over the early sort of stages of COVID. And we put together a mental health hub page for coronavirus, and that had more than 4,000 views in the first month. So we know that, first of all, mental health is an issue, always, and has become a greater issue. And we know there's going to be an aftershock, and we know that people will use digital health. You know, obviously there's the issue about digital exclusion, but there's something about what can we do together as an ecosystem, you know, businesses, academics, and so on. There's all this stuff that we've got here to prepare for that future and to really help us going forward.
And who should take the lead there and ensure that it is maintained and momentum is kept up?
Well, we're up for being involved in that at M-Habitat. So we're hosted by a mental health care trust, which certainly should be part of that picture. And we're really interested in the obviously working on the digital health agenda, but I think it has to be a collaborative. You know, it has to be the senior leaders in the city, and it has to be, you know, the small businesses and the big businesses and the public sector and citizens as well. They are part of the solution, not the problem.
Okay, thank you.
I'd agree entirely. I think it's I think all of us, all those players that I mentioned. You know, it's and this is the important, this is where digital health really comes in. It's no longer just a silo thing. It's not about a GP practice or a hospital. This is about everything that we do. And therefore, we need complete leadership and collaboration across the city, both the private and the public sector, in order to drive us forward and evolve.
Can I just ask a quick question, Cleveland and Ross, on that? in terms of what you believe devolution will, on how that will play a part in that, in terms of taking control away from Whitehall and actually the people of West Yorkshire being it, having power and the ability to be able to say how, why and where they spend their money.
So I'm really interested in the whole idea of local democracy and participative democracy, because there's a community survey done every year. It's a national survey, and it says that only 27% of people feel like they've got control over decisions made in their local area. And actually, that sense of control is part of mental health and wellbeing as well. So I actually am a real big supporter of devolution. I think that mental health and wellbeing is very connected to, you know, how connected you feel to your local area, social capital, and so on. And that could be a really amazing thing. The challenge is how we do that, and also the other stuff around resources and costs and so on. So, you know, we know we've got a big kind of financial challenge ahead of us, and that's, you know, has to be part of the picture. But we certainly have also got a lot of assets in this city that could help us really utilise that and really show how to do this.
I agree completely with what Ros just said. I think it's really important to, there can't be anything wrong with local decisions based on local requirements instead of them coming from a central, which is attempting to please everyone and do the right thing for all. So absolutely, I'm hopeful that devolution will really drive that understanding of what is required in the city and able to make some decisions and prioritisations. Obviously, pending the resources, funding, people and otherwise are also available. But yeah, I think it should be positive.
Thank you. And Richard, to put this question to you in a different way, it's clearly a big topic at Shoesmiths, because your colleague Alex Kirkcope asked the question, what are the key barriers to realising the benefits that devolution offers? And if you could apply that to digital health here, that would be helpful.
Well, I think firstly and fundamentally, I think that the problem that devolution's always had is in terms of surrounding towns competing one another and not actually realising the greater good for the community that we can build for West Yorkshire. And I think that that's probably the greatest barrier. And then secondly, I think that it's probably understanding what digital health is. Cleveland's obviously elaborated it, and so is Ros. But I think the vast majority of the population just do not understand what digital health is. But as I said before, when you explain it in terms of recycling air quality, footfall, et cetera, and how that information can be gathered and data can be gathered in order to enhance a city and a region and encourage people to work and live there and ultimately spend money and make the city grow.
Okay, thank you. And Cleveland, I was wondering what might be the step change that, you know, really propels us forward here, and what impact something like 5G might have. Could it be that, or could it be something else?
What's the step change? I think we've seen some rapid adoption, you know, due to the pandemic. And I think for me, it's the lessons learned from that. You know, what are the things that have worked, and what are the things that we need to focus on to ensure, you know, we can provide health and care and well-being to individuals appropriate for the appropriate condition, individual or otherwise. So the step change for me really now is, you know, I've talked about this a number of occasions where I talk about back to better. What's our next stage? You know, we've just and are still in the middle of that real upside down, turn us around, doing things very differently because we had to. What can we now do to learn from that and take us forward? And I could just see us really changing a whole host of the way we operate. You know, it can't be one size fits all and it can't be broad brush, but being able to take an advantage and work with the elements that have worked and evolve the bits that haven't, ensuring that we're not missing individual out. And you know, as Ros mentioned a few times, really about this inclusion. And that we're able to deliver the services to all, regardless of their situation. So, you know, that's a step change for me. Back to better, post-COVID.
Okay, thank you. Ros, how about for you? What's really going to propel us forward here?
Well, I'd like to think, well, you know, this has been a really, really horrible time, really horrible. But what we have to do going forward is take what we've learned. And this crisis has really propelled digital health forward, I think, and propelled people forward to sort of look to using digital, you know, in our everyday lives, our social life, you know, online deliveries and all the rest of it. So I think that has already happened, and we are in the window of opportunity now. And from adversity has come creativity. Both, you know, I'm sure we've all on this kind of experience, you know, having to innovate within our own teams. We've got to, you know, get by, we've got to get through this. And that created, certainly in my team, a great deal of creativity and flexibility and all of that. But I think, other than what you've said, 5G and all the rest, I think there's something really important about the leadership, and we have to be really, really strong in our leadership. And I think there's a call to the NHS at the moment, actually, to hold the line on the values that the NHS is built on, you know, around equality, around this being about the people, and so on. And that applies to digital health as much as anything. I was thinking, actually, it doesn't matter whether people understand digital health or not. What people need to understand is how can we best support people to live long and happy and healthy lives? That's what's important to people. And how we do it, how we use digital as a tool, is sort of up to us who are in this field of service delivery, I think. So strong leadership, consideration of what's important to citizens, because this belongs to them at the end of the day. And the other thing is collaboration. And we're in a state now where we have scarce resources, and we have to make the most of what we've got, and we have to do that together around shared purpose.
Okay, thank you. And Richard, from your perspective, and perhaps more from a real estate business perspective, in terms of, you know, developing that cluster and the strength within Leeds, what are the things that you'd like to see happen in the next 2-3 years?
I think we are going to see a mini revolution in terms of offices and how the office environment develops and how people collaborate. I think that having rows of desks with screens on them and docking stations, that's probably going to be a thing of the past, and that actually there'll be more collaborative spaces for colleagues to get together and to thrash around ideas. And then actually, when you need to work at home on your documents, where you need that peace and quiet, you can do that at home. And having 5G or greater connectivity, Wi-Fi, broadband, will enable everyone to do that. And when people get together, they can go collaborate, then go and have a drink and a meal in a fantastic city. And we just need to seize that now.
Okay, three good rousing notes to end on there. So thank you to all our panellists for your time today. Thank you to the audience for your questions that came through. And thank you to our partners on the event today. It's been another good one. And congratulations to Leeds on a championship winning season. We'll be back soon with another Future of On, or hopefully even in a city near you soon. And do look out for EG's first national Future of UK Cities event in November. We'll be looking at the UK's recovery and growth plans and how cities can help drive them. Thanks to our panellists for that, and thank you for tuning into this podcast. We'll be looking at the future of other key cities.